What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. And I am so excited for you to listen to this week's episode. I am sitting down with Kim Gravel, and she, as you will feel it, is just a beautiful personality, beautiful soul, and has so much wisdom that she shares in this episode. I know it's going to be one that you enjoy. And a little bit about Kim. She is the host of a bevy of number one shows on QVC, and she's a wildly, wildly successful entrepreneur, television personality, motivational speaker, life coach, podcaster, and leader in the fashion and beauty industry. In 2016, she partnered with QVC to launch her apparel line, Belle by Kim Gravel, followed by the Belle Beauty Cosmetics line a year later. And in 5 years, she has grown her brands from zero to hundreds of millions of dollars in sales. So again, quite successful. And in 1991, she was one of the youngest contestants to become Miss Georgia, and she later starred in Lifetime's network hit docuseries, Kim of Queens. So that's a little bit about Kim. What we talk about on this episode, and you can expect, is how do you start collecting confidence in your life? We talk about the power of walking in faith, not in a spiritual sense necessarily, but having faith in your life and really the magic that comes with it. We talk about a 30-day plan for building more confidence in your life and so much more. I know in this episode, Kim is going to be speaking into some of your souls. So put your seatbelt on, buckle up, and get ready for a beautiful, beautiful conversation with Kim. All right, my friend, here we go. Kim Gravel, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I've listened to your podcast, and I'm going to say it again. I was telling you earlier, you have the best voice for this. I mean, it's so good. So I'm just glad to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. You're so kind. And, you know, in doing some of my research, I saw one of the things you said, you know, as part of your calling on this earth is being an edifier, building things, mm-hmm. building people. And even in the, you know, 5 minutes that we've been talking, clearly you embody what you talked about. And I'm so excited to dive into that further today. And, you know, I figured where we could kick this off is you have a new book coming out called Collecting Confidence. And right. I would love to just go way back into your life and kind of dive into some of your roots, you know, as you grew up, what was your family like? And more so, like, did you always feel as you grew up that you were like, Kim, this confident woman that was just like embodying confidence? And if you could kind of walk us through some of the early stages of Kim.
Yeah, I would say when I was a little girl, I was very, very confident. Okay. and let me explain that, because I think we all are. I think we all come into this earth with this knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are unique and special, and we all have a call on our life. You know, we all have a natural gift that we are created to share with the world. But what happens is, as we continue to grow, as life happens, as we start comparing, or bad things happen to us, and we make huge mistakes in our life, all of those things chip away at our confidence. So yeah. I say really plainly, because I'm a straight talker, you know, straight shooter, yeah. you know, no chaser. I mean, just right down the line, that the world is a big old confidence sucker. Okay. And it tries to rob you of your confidence. But we come into the world with confidence. We lose it as along the way. And then at some point we wake up and go, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? Why am I here? What is this all about? Yeah. What is my purpose? And in the book, right. I kind of walk you through the steps of how to trace that back to the beginning. It's not that we have to go out and get confidence. Yeah. We've already got it. We've just got to remember it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how would you say somebody starts to remember it? Like if they dive back in and sort of go through that process, how does somebody start to remember that?
Well, you have to do some self, you know, awareness work, and you've got to really, first of all, you got to want it. You've got to want to take that next step. And if anybody's listening to your podcast, they want more out of life. So they're here for that purpose. But I talk about how your life is like a big old quilt. Now, look, I travel around and speak to colleges. I mean, I just was at a high school a week and a half ago talking to a group of students, a bunch of 10th and 11th and 12th graders, and they were all, you know, in this big room. Yeah. And I said, look, I want you to raise your hand if you know what your purpose is. And I mean, let me start that over. I said, I want everybody to raise their hand if you think that you have a purpose. And every kid, hands went up, like in confidence, full confidence. I do think everybody's got a purpose. Yeah. And then I said, okay, put your hands down. Now tell me if you know what your purpose is. And I mean, I didn't even get a little pinky up. I mean, I got nothing. I mean, it was like crickets. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. And I think it's because, A, they probably haven't lived enough life.
Right.
But B, we have not really done a good job in teaching and mentoring and sharing with our young people. And I know it was for me, what a calling and a purpose and giftings are. So when I say, when you ask me, how do I go back and figure that out? You have to look at those moments in life where you felt not just joy, because I feel joy when I'm eating chocolate cake. So, but we all know that's not my call. I'm saying go back in those moments and remember when you were uninhibited and fearless. I say that to so many people, and they're like, well, I can't remember a time. But you can. Like, even just writing this book, I was able to trace that thread back to when that moment happened for me in the fifth grade. It was the fifth grade where my calling and purpose showed up in my life in a big way. And I didn't recognize it. And so, you know, for me, I want young people to read the book. I want people of all ages to read the book and really understand their natural giftings. And I would love for them to develop that. And they can be so impactful. We need what you have in this world. That's the thing.
Yeah. So
we do.
So you touched over it a little bit. I'm curious, what was this moment in fifth grade when you feel like you traced it back, you go, man, that was purpose sort of peeking into my life that I later realized. But what was that moment in fifth grade?
Okay. We have time for the story?
Yeah, we got it. Let's do it.
All right. Let me do it. Okay. So I was in the fifth grade. I guess I was like 9 or 10 years old. And I was not a straight A student, more like a C student at Arcado Elementary School. Okay. And I'll never forget it. They were having a talent show. You know, they have the end of the year talent show. And I signed myself up to sing. I've always been a singer. I've always been a performer. And so, I wanted to do it in a big way. So I went to recess and I gathered, and I'll never forget my best friend, Sheila. Sheila, if you're listening, honey, I love you. I gathered all my friends together. There was 5 of us. And I said, look, we're going to have an air band. This is a true story. I'll never forget this. I said, we're going to have an air band. I said, so you're just going to pretend to play the instruments, but I'm going to go get the instruments so it looks like we're a real band. And I'm really going to sing, and y'all are going to pretend like you're playing the instruments, right? So I went out there. Now, keep in mind, I know this is, I mean, when I started looking back, I thought, oh my gosh, why didn't I just recognize it then? Right. So I went out and I drove my parents crazy. I went out and I got a set of drums, electric guitar, a keyboard, a bass, and a full sound system. Okay.
Wow.
So I got a bass guitar, electric, all of those instruments, went and got them. Now, let me just tell y'all, this was before Amazon Prime. This was before you could just Google something. There was no cell phones. You know, I won't reveal my age, but it was before all of that. So, and I was 9. Okay, so I'm trying to put it in perspective for you here.
Yeah.
So fast forward, we hustle around, we get all of our instruments. I make the outfits and our band. I sewed on the little stickers on the shirt, and it said Rare Edition. That was our band name, Rare Edition.
Amazing.
And we got up and did the talent show. The cafeteria where we're doing the talent show was packed, and it was, you know, everybody was sitting. They were sitting on those little seats, you know, and the butts were hanging over. That's the elementary seats, and then everybody's big butts were hanging over. The place was packed, and they called up Rare Edition to, you know, we were the last performer, and I sang my heart out. You won't remember this movie, but it was Olivia Newton-John's "Keep Me in Suspended in Time with You" from the Xanadu movie. Y'all go check it out. It's an oldie but goodie. So I sang. Everybody stood to their feet. It was fantastic. Everybody sat down. They announced the winner, and Rare Edition won the talent show.
Wow.
And so from that moment on, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a singer, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward 30 years later, realizing what my real call was I was a builder. I was an edifier. I figured out I build people, I build businesses, I build communities, I build relationships. And that was there in the fifth grade. The whole part of that talent show was not singing. The whole part of that talent show was putting all of that together, building to that moment. That was the gift. And so everybody has that. Everybody has their Rare Edition moment. And, you know, I want people to really look back and see that common thread throughout their life because it's there. I tell people this too. What comes naturally to you? What do people come to you for? What comes easy to you that people, and I tell people also this, ask everybody, ask your friends, ask your family.
Yeah.
Get real with your partner, your significant other, your spouse. Start getting a little bit selfish when it comes to what you're here for, because it's probably one of the most important things we can do. You know, I have 2 children, and I just had someone reach out because there's a chapter about parenting, about motherhood here. And I often ask women and young girls, especially young mothers, you know, what is your calling? And they'll say to be a mom. And I respectfully say, no, that's not it. That's what you're doing right now. That's your due.
Yeah.
But what's your why? You know? Yeah.
Beautiful. Man, that is that's such a cool story. And I love the band name Rare Edition. I could just see on the asphalt little fifth graders, you know, you're orchestrating this. It's
Oh my God.
What a scene.
Let me
that
just
could
tell
be like
you.
In a movie.
I'm serious. It was a true story. And I forget, I had the biggest crush on Kyle Crenshaw, who sat all the way in the back on the ice cream cooler. And I'm just telling you, it's those things. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, your calling has always been there. And the great thing about it is, what confidence did I have to have? I mean, I was a little ballsy thing, wasn't I? To get up there and do all that. But along the way, I lost it. As I got older, I started shrinking back. I was less of a builder and trying to chase something that wasn't for me. A marriage that failed that I should have never been in. So it's like you have to really, really, and I say this respectfully, you've got to be a little bit selfish in your life, especially when you're young. Especially when you're young and you're emerging into your career or your, you know, the sweet spot of your life. I tell young people all the time, dating is great. Marriage is great. Children are great. But that 20 to 30 something year old range right there, be about you and what you're called to do.
Yeah. And it is like you look at the ripple effect, right? If you spend your 20s and 30s and you're not being selfish and you're kind of just like blowing in the wind, doing what other people think you should do. And
that's it.
You know, it's like then the next few decades, the explosion happens, right? Versus if you say, okay, for 20s and 30s, I'm gonna, like, it's like this idea of, maybe you've heard, it's like being selfishly unselfish. It's like sort of the idea that when you're selfish, it's actually unselfish because if you're selfish about finding your gifts, your purpose, what you're supposed to do, it allows you to then make just more of an impact on everybody around you. It makes you happier in your life. That energy spreads to other people, which ultimately is an unselfish thing, but it's because for at least a chapter of your life, you were like, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be about me. I'm going to figure out who I am, what my gifts are, what I'm supposed to be doing. And I mean, really, I mean, if you think about it, if you spend a year even saying like, I'm just going to be selfish about like what's important to me and what, like, what's my gifts? What am I supposed to be doing? If you did that for a year, even 6 months, your life would change.
See, I like how you're putting a time frame on it too, because I think that is, you know, we're talking big picture here, but you're actually putting a moment in time in it. I think that's a really smart thing to look at too. When you're saying give yourself 6 months, give yourself a year, because I think as humans, we have this shame about us. And I'm speaking for myself here because I'm no psychologist or counselor. I'm just talking about my lived life, the ups and the downs and the successes, because I've been very blessed to be successful in my business and in my entrepreneurship, in my building. So I think what happens is that we think that if we're selfish, that, you know, we're taught it shouldn't be about you. It's got to be about others. But like you said, your cup runneth over.
Yeah.
Your cup runneth over, like you doing your podcast here and us even talking about this encourages other people to maybe do their podcast or write their book or share their story. So you're absolutely right. 1,000%.
Love it. So if we go, let's say, further into your story, right? You run the fifth grade talent show, Rare Edition, absolutely crush it. And eventually, I mean, you continue to hold on to this confidence that you had. You took it to become, I think it was the youngest Miss Georgia that had ever been Miss Georgia, right? And you were successful
at that.
You went on to Miss America pageant. And then you touched on it a little bit earlier, but once you did all these things, I would assume you're this 19, young 20-ish, just confident person. You're like, man, I'm Miss Georgia. I'm crushing it. I had that Rare Edition moment. And then things kind of started to fall apart a little bit. And I'm just curious if you could walk us through that chapter of your life, which, you know, looking back on it may have some lessons, but I'm sure as you go through it, it wasn't a fun period of life necessarily, right? Like life's falling apart. Things are not the way they're supposed to go. And if you could just walk us through that, and how did you kind of find yourself back on your feet? Because after that, you've, you know, as you alluded to, you've done extraordinarily well. So you did find your feet again. But if you could just take us in that moment for a bit.
Well, look, I've always been a type A driven person, and I think all of us have a little drive in some aspect in our life. And as I was in high school and college and then went on to win Miss Georgia, I was pretty naive and pretty sheltered in the fact that I was, my drive was my goal. You know what I'm saying? Getting to where I wanted to get in my life at a certain period of time was what I was searching for. After I had won Miss Georgia and went to Miss America, I'd never been at that large of a platform where that kind of competition took place. Because Miss America, especially back in the day, was like the Super Bowl for chicks, right? Like it was like that professional athlete for, you know, girls who want to put on lip gloss and a push-up bra. Yeah. So, you know, that was a huge thing for me. And I was 19. And other women were in their, you know, 27. I mean, I was competing with 20. So that was the first time I had ever seen something on that scale. And I started to compare. And that is a confidence killer as well. Comparison kills. Yeah. And that's what started creeping in for me, is I started looking at everybody else. Damn. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it's an epidemic today. I think that's one of the biggest purpose blockers that we have, is looking at others and what they're doing and comparing it to what we're doing.
And yeah, so I got goosebumps when you said that. Comparison, man.
Would you agree? It kills.
Yeah, just like it's just like getting punched in the face left and right. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything good, you know.
No. It's a lie that we tell ourselves. That's when I started doubting myself and doubting who I was. And then, you know, I'll tell you, I had little, what they call haters. I mean, everybody's saying that today, haters. Yeah. And I had little people, you know, whispering in my ear, you know, cause I had short hair. I had a big mouth. I used Southern colloquialisms. You know, I wasn't the most polished person. And so everything that made me an individual, they were saying, change this, don't do this. Let's color your hair. Don't say ain't, don't slap your leg. Yeah. All that, lose 15 more pounds. I mean, all of that. And I'm not blaming them. I took that on, but that is, and at that point in my life, I didn't need any daggum haters because I was my own hater. And that's the second thing that kills us, is the negative self-talk. The negative self-talk will absolutely eat your lunch if you let it. It will. And so then from those things, I started making really poor decisions with my life. You know, I started thinking, I don't have a call. I'm not really made to do anything. You know, I got married, had a failed marriage, knew it wasn't right. But then I found myself on the wrong side of the tracks here in Atlanta, and it was called Jimmy Carter Boulevard, honey. Okay. And when I tell you bow chicka bow bow, I mean, it is Jimmy Carter Boulevard, meaning it's not somewhere you would ideally want to go set up shop. And I found myself alone driving an old beat up pickup truck in a shady part of town. Only you know, person in my family ever to be divorced. So young. I'd been on such a mountaintop, and now I was at the deepest valley. And I remember spending some alone time sitting by myself in the quiet. And I would pray, and I would speak out and ask, you know, why am I here?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with my life? And slowly but surely, I began to turn the messes that I'd made of my life, the big mistakes I've made, into a message. And I clicked on my TV, you know, back when we were all watching TV. And I found this community television station. It's called WATC. And I say this because it doesn't matter where you are in your life and how many mistakes you've made in your life, it's still part of your journey. Okay? So hear me clearly when I say that. It does not matter the mistakes or the messes that you have made or have been made of your life. You're on the right path. You're not on plan B. You're still on plan A. And I'm going to tell you how I know that. So I'm sitting there watching the TV, and I click it on, and channel 2 in Atlanta was WATC TV 57. They're still out there. They're still chugging along right here in Atlanta. It was a community television station, nonprofit. And this gentleman was on there talking about, you know, his story, his life. He was just sharing his life. And I thought, you know what? I'm 23 years old. I'm divorced. I'm broke down. I don't have two nickels to rub together. I'm shamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to call this hotline. This is a true story. I said, I'm going to see if I can go in there and tell my story. Okay. So I called, poop, 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 1-800, you got a story, whatever it was. And I called them, and they said, yeah, come on down. Come on down in 2 nights. We have an opening. You know, they kind of did a pre-interview. Come on down. I want you to share your story. You're not going to believe this. I said, okay. All right. So what time you want me to be there? All right. I'm writing it down my little pad. All this time I was journaling and really talking and seeking and searching. And they said, okay, we're at 5725. Jimmy Carter Boulevard. The whole time I was in that little rundown apartment, my calling and my purpose was two doors down in an old warehouse off of Jimmy Carter Boulevard. That's what I'm talking to you about. You don't have to go out and search for it. Your calling is always chasing you. And I'll say for most of us, is haunting you, okay? It's because you don't know what it is. So it's always that nagging, haunting. I always say, people say, well, Kim, how do you know what your calling is? I said, the call is coming from inside the house, like that movie, horror movie Scream. It's coming from inside. And it haunts us. But the beautiful thing about it is if we will just take that time to be selfish, be still,
Yeah.
Reflect and remember. Be open. Your calling will show up. It will show up and chase you down. And from that moment, I have never doubted what my call was. Never. From that moment, I never had a fear of stepping out. Because I knew, do you see how crazy is that?
Yeah.
That television station was in that part of town, right down the road from me in my darkest part of my life.
What's up, my friend? I wanted to jump in here real quick and share with you something that has been a huge game changer in my life lately. If you know me, you know that I'm someone who's always looking for the next thing that helps me get just dialed in, focused, be massively productive, and really just get in this state that I like to call a flow, where your brain's talking to the right parts, things are connecting, and you are in just really this beautiful flow throughout your day. And recently, I came across a company that has been helping me with this in a huge way, so that I don't go through the day and have confusion. I'm not going through the day and, you know, doing the little squirrel thing where I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm squirreling to something else, or just being distracted and not dialed in really. And the company, it's called Magic Mind. I was introduced to it through a good friend of mine. And now I want to introduce it to you, a good friend of mine. And really what Magic Mind helped me do, it's this little 4-ounce like elixir shot that you take in the morning. You can take it with your coffee. That's personally what I do. And what it does is it helps you start to get in that state of flow. Literally, that's exactly what it does. A few of the ingredients that I'll share specifically that actually are like the process behind what it's doing is one of the big ones that it has in it is matcha. And matcha, really what it does is it contains much, much, much less caffeine than coffee. But what it does is, interestingly enough, and I just learned this recently, it has a compound in it called catechins that basically extend the benefit of caffeine by slowing your body's ability to absorb it. So essentially what matcha is in a nutshell is it's like nature's extended release version of caffeine. And on top of that, it has something called Bacopa manieri, if I'm saying that correctly. And what that is it's a nootropic that improves your attention span, your ability to process and learn new information in your memory. So long story, all of those different things that I said, really, it just helps you get into a state of flow, be more productive, be more focused, and really just dial in for your day. And so because this has had an impact on my life, I asked the company if they would do something special for our listener. And honestly, they're going to do something just super, super cool, which is if you have an interest in, you know, learning about Magic Mind, you want to be more productive, you want to be more focused, you want to be more dialed in, and you want to find that state of flow for your own life, they're going to basically hook you up for listening to the show and give you 56%. Yes, I said that correctly. 56% off of your first subscription order. And if you just want to do a one-time order, they'll give you 20% off. You can do either way, whatever works best for you. And all you need to do is if you go to magicmind.co, so not com, but .co/direction, and you enter the code direction20 at checkout, you will get both of those discounts. Again, the website is magicmind.co/direction, and just enter the code direction20 at checkout and you'll get 20% off your first time order or 56% off your fourth subscription order. And truly, from my heart to yours, my friend, I really do believe this will help you in life. I hope you believe it'll find direction, get clarity, and live in that state of flow, which honestly, life is so much better and so much more fun when you're living in a state of flow. So go check that out. Go dive into the link. Go check the product out. Use the discount and let me know how you like it, my friend. Back to the show. Yeah, I was just reading something the other day and it just pops in my mind is this idea of like sometimes you just need to let go. And
come
when you
on.
Let go, right? It's like that's when the things come to your life. When you finally are just like, you know what? I'm just going to stop trying to do everything so perfectly and calculated and just like, let me just let it. And it's like, yeah, it's this release, right? When you're like, just let me just let go and just like let happen what's supposed to happen. And when you finally let go, I know at least for my own life, it's like, that's when beautiful things come together. I'm curious for you. It sounds like letting go is something that you also see as powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a certified, you know, probably clinically you know, diagnosed control freak. Okay. So let's not get it twisted. I mean, this is a total everyday die to self, figure it out moment. Okay. I'm no guru. Okay. I'm still just, I'm on the path and the journey, but I'll tell you the things I've learned is not only do you have to let it go, but you got to trust it. Mm. And that is where you got to faith it till you make it. You can't just, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
Okay. Because because faith is a verb and believing is, I love the word belief because it means so many things, but faith is, requires action. Yeah. And by that, I mean, you have to not only believe, but you've got to prepare like it's already happened. And that is faith. See, we live in a world where everybody's faking it till they make it. You can't fake it. You have to be your authentic self. And that might be a whole nother podcast, but you have to really figure out who you are, the good, bad, and the ugly, warts and all, and be prepared to show it. But faith, if you want to live a fulfilled, purpose-driven, confident life, you've got to have faith.
You just can't.
I'm telling you, as a woman of a certain age, this is what I would tell anybody that came up to me and said, Kim, what do I need to be successful? You got to have faith. You got to work hard. You got to work smart. And you got to want it, but you got to have faith or it's not going to happen. So, yeah, let go. And then that trust and that faith comes in next. And then that's where that match is lit and the fire and ignites.
Yeah.
Is that because it's an action. You know, it's an action. It's a movement towards what you really want. And, and can I just say to everybody listening, don't say what you want. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Because, my daddy used to always tell me this. I'm like, well, what are people going to think? He goes, nothing, because they're not thinking about you anyway. Nobody cares.
Amen.
Nobody gives a rip. I mean, if you want to post on social media and say your message and hold it close to your face and post it every day, do it, because nobody gives a rip. You'll bless somebody and touch somebody with it. You'll find an audience. And the people who don't get you and don't love you and don't like you, you know, God bless. That's on them.
Yeah.
Don't try to convince them either. You know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Do it afraid. Do it afraid. All right. Lord, I just preached. Let me hush.
You did. You're speaking to somebody's soul. You're speaking to my soul as well. Man, Kim.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful things I heard when it comes to faith is this idea that like faith and fear, they're both made up. Right. And it's like sometimes we look at a next step we want to have in our life and we have fear. But the reality is like, it's totally made up, right? We're just making up an outcome that leads to us having fear versus on the other side, we can pick faith, right? And I think one thing that's an interesting thing to speak to as well is it's like, as we have faith, and I'm 1,000,000% on the same page as you, just like, you have to have that blind faith that like, I'm going to take this step and I don't know what's there, but you have to believe that it's something better, right? You have to be willing to do that. And I think one thing when it comes to having more faith is like building the muscle of having faith, right? It's like first you start with small little steps, right? And it's like once you get close with this thing called faith, it's like then you get to the points where I'm sure you've had these moments in your career where you're like, I'm going to take a big leap of faith now.
And
you're just like, let's go. So, and it turns out. And so let's go to that for a second. What's a moment where you were like, all right, Kim, you've been talking about having faith. You've been talking about, you know, having courage in your life. And now it's time to take a real, real big step of faith. What was one of those moments in your life?
Okay. Well, let me just tell everybody that's listening right now. There is no methodical plan to anything that I have done in my life. I am like a bumper car. I have just bumped into every single thing that I have been blessed to do. Okay. So don't, everybody thinks there's this educational, you know, plan that everybody goes through and then the networking plan and all that. I'm just here to tell you have a plan, work the plan, but be flexible, because I tell you, anything I've ever planned has never worked out. It's always just come to me. But saying that, I liked what you said. I want to back up before I get into this little story. Yeah. When you said, you know, you can choose fear or faith. A lot of times people think fear is a bad thing, and I personally don't. I think fear is like a frenemy. and I talk about it in the book. As an entrepreneur especially, because that's just the, you know, the pool I'm wading in right now, big time. Yeah. It is fear, having that little bit of fear and a little bit of doubt is if you have that, that's a good thing. Because what I see a lot of times with, like, I have two teenage boys, I deal with a lot of young people, and the fearlessness is very, very attractive, but that little bit of fear and doubt also makes you work and want it a little bit more. And that is that fear and that doubt can be the catalyst to keep you working and keep you growing and going. And you grow and go because you have that faith. And for me, it took a really quick story. I had built this business to over $200 million a year, okay, in sales. That's nothing to walk away from, right? And I was at a situation where I was being threatened by a partner financially. And I had to decide, A, am I going to stand up and really stand my ground and lose this business, or B, and do the right thing, or B, am I going to fold and do what I know is not right for the business and not right for me? And it was a tough decision, and I was scared to death. I mean, it took me a month of just soul searching and getting advice from, you know, my business mentors, and praying and seeking wisdom. And when it just came down to it, I was in the meeting, and I just said to him, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this. And I mean, it could have cost me everything I had built. I mean, I had 20 employees, you know, it was, you know, I employed my family. It was a big, big, fearful step of faith, but I'm so glad I did it. Because on the other side of it, I didn't lose the business. It actually grew exponentially. And it was almost a test of the wills. Things will come into your life, in your relationships, in your work environment, even in your friendships, that will test you. It will test you. Because, like you said, that faith muscle, to grow it, it just can't be all roses and sunshine. Those obstacles and those challenges are really what you're made of. It's those things that take you to another level. So, and I also say new levels, new devils. So if you think you're going to grow and it's going to get better, I'm here to tell you it doesn't, but it does get easier in having the faith to handle it.
Man, so beautifully said. I think, I know you're speaking to my soul today, man. Your words, you're so good at articulating what you say. And I have a hunch that for some of our listeners today, you're speaking to some souls, Kim. I love it. So
I hope so. I hope so.
I know so. So I have a few last questions for you. You know, one of the things I'm curious of, obviously, you have this book coming out, and let's say you had someone that is like, I'm talking not confident, like zero confidence, and you were going to work with them for, let's say, 30 days. You were going to help them collect confidence. And at the end of the 30 days, the idea is we have this person that you look at them and you're just like, man, that person has confidence. They walk with it. They talk with it. They embody the confidence. I know we can't go into a whole 30-day, this is what you're going to do every day. But if you had to give like a high overarching layout, like how would you take someone from being that just zero confidence to really embodying confidence on a daily basis?
Well, you know, you can do it. I've done it. We have hot seat coaching all the time. I'm actually working with a young girl named Blythe, and she's a mom of three. She's in her late 20s. She lives on a farm. Her husband's a dairy farmer, and she wants more out of life. She's just really, she's like, I can't do this forever. I'm just not going to be able to, like, you know, basically, I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. So here we go. Yeah. You're starting out in the right place, Blythe. So if I was going to give just a handful of exercises or, you know, prompts that you could do in your own life to really, you're not finding your confidence. Remember, you've already got it. You're just, it might have fallen out your basket. You're going to collect it back and put it back in. Okay. Yeah. So keep that in mind. You started out as a confident individual. Okay. You are just, your perspective needs to shift. And I want you to do a couple of things. I tell people they've got to start writing down some really, really impactful moments in their life. And you say, well, Kim, I'm only 23. Everybody's got them. And you say, well, Kim, I haven't had a lot of great things happen to me. Write down the bad stuff. It doesn't, what I'm saying is your calling is not just for the good people who grew up in a great family in the perfect part of town with the right kind of bank account. Okay. Calling is, it's no respecter of persons. Everyone has one. So even if you were, had dealt with really, really trauma in your young, youthful years or in your life, your calling is in there. And I think that's a little bit different from what we've been told. In the trauma, there is calling. In the good times, there is calling. In the messes of life is your message. So I would say really start taking a minute or two a day, writing down some of those really poignant times in your life. And two, you got to watch how you're talking to yourself. I did this exercise where I put a little digital recorder on my person and I just let it roll for like half a day just to tape what the words that were coming out of my mouth. There was so much negativity about myself. There was so many, I'm sorry's, I'm sorry. There was so many like, oh my gosh, I'm fat. I can't tell you how many times I had such negative self-talk come out of my mouth. That's not even counting what was going on in my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's wild.
It's true. The things that we think and say about ourselves, y'all, you got to check it. So I would say start paying attention to that. And also, lastly, I just want to tell you, so can you surround yourself with what I call elevator people? Go get you some people that are going up.
Yeah.
Like if you want to start a business or you want to have a healthy, loving relationship or a life partner where you can truly build a life together, then go find people that are that way. Go hang out with people and go befriend couples that are that way. Go look for people who are like-minded in that way. You've got to surround yourself with people and don't feel bad about cutting some of those people loose that you got to cut loose. Now, some of you might be living with people that you just can't ditch. Okay? Some people might be married to the brick and they're drowning slowly. That's a song, by the way. But but you can still change your emotional environment with that person.
Right.
You've got to start looking through faith-filled eyes and hopeful eyes. Because y'all, I'm here to tell you, if I can do it, if I can find my call and walk in it with a lot of the crap that I've been through in my life, I know you can too. And see, so you're like, well, maybe download your podcast and listen to it every single day, everybody who's listening. Go find people who are trying and who are not trying, because I don't believe in trying. Go find people who are doing what we're talking about. Listen to them. Soak it in. You know?
Yeah.
Those are three things that they're actionable that you can start doing today. And in 30 days, you won't know yourself.
Let's go.
Or hey, maybe you will. You'll know your real self, really.
Yeah. So number one, right, go through the highs, the lows, the trials, the messes, all of it, and just learn from it, right? Get to know it. Spend a little time with it.
Look for that common thread. Look for that common thread. I was always a builder. I started writing all those things down, and I thought, wow, I was edifying there. Oh my gosh. And you got to think big. Don't think tiny. Don't think I'm a helper. Think big.
Yeah.
Callings are big.
Yeah, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And then two, check the self-talk. Massively important.
Check it.
And then get around some good people, some elevator people. I like that. So, Kim, this has been so enjoyable. You are an incredible human. So thank you for sharing your life, your presence, your energy with us. It's truly been an honor. I'm curious, for a listener who wants to hang out with you more, they're like, I need more Kim in my life. Where's the best place for them to find you and hang out with you?
Just go to our hub, kimgravel.com, and there's everything. We have a huge confidence community where we're just building each other up. So if you want a safe place to really land and feel encouraged and inspired, come check us out, because y'all, we need each other.
Yeah.
And if everybody starts walking in their calling and doing it confidently,
yeah.
Woo, I'm telling you, we'll set the world on fire.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. And they can find the book there, I'm assuming, as well, correct?
Yeah, you can find the book anywhere books are sold. So, anywhere.
Cool. All right, I love it. And so my last question I have for you, a question we ask to all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we believe in doing it through action, like we've spoken about a few times today.
Mm.
And so I'm curious, the last question I'd have for you is, what's one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Take out a pen and a piece of paper, and I want you to write down 20 things that you absolutely love about yourself.
Mm.
Okay? Physical, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Not things you need to work on, because you are not broke. You do not need fixing. I promise you. We're going to focus on 20 things that you absolutely admire, respect, and love about yourself. You'll see a big change in 24 hours.
Let's go, Kim. I love it. Man, again, Kim, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom. I'm excited to continue to stay in touch. And thank you. Yeah. So thank you for being here. It's been so valuable. And I'm excited for all of our listeners to listen to this episode over and over and over. And if you enjoyed this, for all our listeners, send it to a friend. Send it to someone you know could benefit from this. And Kim, thank you one more time for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me on this week's episode. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you got some nuggets from our conversation with Kim, and more importantly, as always, I hope you take some of the information and wisdom you got from that conversation, and I hope you start to apply it in your life, whether that's building more confidence, whether that's walking in faith. What's one thing you're going to do after today's episode to implement into your life to create a better quality of life for yourself? Thank you again for being here. If you don't want to go anywhere, don't feel like you need to, I have another episode coming up right after this that you are more than welcome to hang around for. So other than that, my friend, I will talk to you soon, and have a wonderful rest of your day.